Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit from the Father. He shall testify of me. One of the priorities of the Holy Spirit is he will point to Jesus Christ.
Pastor Brett Metter with a scriptural understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
If people walk away from a church service, they say, wow, what an experience. How emotional that was. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and it's all about the Holy Ghost. I think we've lost the point of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will glorify Christ. That should always be the result of the work of the Spirit.
It's unfortunate that for some, embracing the ministry of the Holy Spirit has shifted to an unhealthy emphasis on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Coming up, Pastor Brett Metter leads us in a helpful search of the Scripture to properly identify the gifts of the Spirit and how they manifest in the life of a believer as we continue a study of the Holy Spirit on today's Word.
John 14, Jesus is comforting his disciples because he's leaving them. Jesus said, I'm leaving you and you can't go with me where I'm going. So they're troubled. So Jesus starts John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. And the rest of it's encouragement of how they don't have to be troubled. But if you could say there was a major theme in those three chapters of why they should not let their hearts be troubled, is Jesus gives them the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And that's supposed to bring great comfort. Let's review some of these scriptures. John 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Fast forward to verse 26. He goes on, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever things I have said to you. Fast forward again to chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient or good for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will reprove. The word reprove means to bring to light, to expose, to convict, or even convince. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world, that's Satan, is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus said it over and over again. He's called the Comforter. I love that. The Holy Spirit comforts. Number two, he's the one who teaches us, John 14, 26. Not only will he teach you truth, but he'll remind you in John 14, 26. He will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you. And then number four, unless he reproves the world of sin, that is convict, to reveal the sin of the world. That's what the Holy Spirit does. A very huge one that people miss about the Holy Spirit is he points to Jesus Christ and glorifies him. It's spoken of over and over again. John 16, verse 14, he, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, Jesus said. John 15, 26, Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit from the Father, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. One of the priorities of the Holy Spirit is he will point to Jesus Christ. If people walk away from a church service, they say, wow, what an experience. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, and it's all about the Holy Ghost. I think we've lost the point of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will glorify Christ. That should always be the result of the work of the Spirit. If it's saying, wow, we're gonna have a Holy Ghost service, we're already off course. We should always have a Christ-centered service, and the Holy Spirit is that which empowers us to see and glorify Christ. Sixthly on our list of the things the Holy Spirit does is it produces good fruit. Paul brings this one to us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And it says, against such there is no law. And when you're a saved Christian, we're not living by the law of the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit writes on the table of our heart kind of how to live and what to do and what's right. And it includes the fruit of the Spirit. Now, these are the things that we see so far in Jesus's teaching, John 14, 15, and 16, about what the Holy Spirit's gonna do. Those are all wonderful things. And again, I would say Jesus didn't talk about tongues here. This whole dissertation about the Holy Spirit, tongues didn't get brought up. Why? Because as it turns out, I wanna show you this, tongues gets all the press. Speaking in tongues is the least of the expressions of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that, I'll show you where in a minute. But as it turns out, the work of the Spirit is not just this list. These are some of the real practical things. I call them practical, but there's also some very supernatural things that later Paul the Apostle would sort out for the Corinthian church. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? So I'm telling you the story of what happens in the early church. You know, Jesus told about it, promised it. The Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. Then we see the Holy Spirit moving in the church. Now, I'll just tell you, the Corinthian church, they abuse things of the Holy Spirit, like some churches today that take things too far and go out of the boundaries of the Bible. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's review verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Remember the things you're not supposed to be ignorant of. But notice the word gifts is in italics. The word gifts is not there. And the reason that's so important is it does a disservice to this passage. People think the list that we're about to read here in 1 Corinthians 12 are the gifts that you have. I have the gift of speaking in tongues. I have the gift of healing. And people say that because of this wrong word that's there. There is a list in the Bible that tells you about what gifts you may or may not have. But this really should read, now concerning spiritual, do you guys remember the word there? The word is pneumatikos in the Greek, which means things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. If you read this in the original Greek, it says, now concerning things concerning the Holy Spirit, I would not have you ignorant of those things. Don't be ignorant about the Holy Spirit and the way it works. That's what that verse one is saying, not spiritual gifts. That is spiritual things about the Holy Spirit. Then he says in verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit." Basically, there were people saying, if you speak in tongues, you're gonna curse Jesus, which is ridiculous. But that was what people were saying back then. There's people that even say that today, by the way. If you speak in tongues, you could be cursing somebody and not even know it. You know, Paul straightens that out. But then in verse 4, 5, and 6, there's three verses where Paul's saying, now here's how the church rolls. And there's three big things you should know about. Let me just tell you what they are before I read them. The first thing he's gonna unveil in verse 4 is a thing called the diversity of gifts, or you might call it the motivational gifts. A lot of people call them that. And it comes from Romans 12. The second thing he's gonna name in verse 5 are different administrations, Ephesians 4:11. The third thing he's gonna talk about is the manifestation of the Spirit or the operations of the Spirit, and that's 1 Corinthians 12. People get confused about these and they mix and match, and we really shouldn't do that. Let me read these three verses and you'll see what I mean. Verse 4, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Do you guys have margin reference Bible? What reference is given to that verse? Romans 12. Margin references are really helpful. That's why I keep pointing them out lately. Romans 12 verses 4 through 6. Why is that reference there? Because that's where the Romans 12 diversity of gifts are listed. And that's giant. We'll show you that in a second. Then the second one is verse 5. "There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." What's your reference there? Ephesians 4:11. That's where we read about the different administrations within the church. And then the third one is verse 6 and 7. "There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And then he's gonna tell us what those manifestations are. We'll read that in a second. Okay, so let me show you, for example, the diversity of gift in Romans 12, number one on our list here. That's Romans 12, it says it like this. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And every one members one of another, having then gifts," and that's a real word in there, gifts, "differing according to the grace that is given to us." And then it goes on. And here's the list of the motivational gifts. "Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Question for you, which one of these do you major in your life? Like, are you good at one of these? And if you don't know if you're good at these, ask somebody who knows you really well. Hey, if you could say that the word of prophecy is not like an Old Testament prophet telling the future, or like the book of Revelation prophecy. We're gonna see prophecy in the New Testament. Those who prophesy are speaking a word of edification, exhortation, or comfort. That's a beautiful manifestation of the Spirit. Some of you have that. That's a good one when you edify people and you're an encourager, but you also are willing to exhort people. And it's kind of a role of just speaking truth from God into people's life. That's a Spirit thing. The word ministering means you like to serve. The word minister means servant. Then there's teaching. That's the one that I feel like the Lord's given me. At least I hope that's my gifting. But I felt like I was a Bible teacher since I was 12 years old. That was what I wanted to do. Exhortation. My dad's good at that one. You know, if I went and told you what you need to hear, you might hate me and say, what a jerk. But my dad has a way of speaking truth into people's lives and they just sort of receive it. And they kind of just listen and go, thank you. Like my dad's good at that one. Giving. Do you have a gift of giving? If you have a gift of earning, you might just have a gift of giving. Joyfully give money and resources, and you're just a giver. And then he that ruleth, that's people that are more administrative and likes to make sure things are running smoothly. Or the person who has mercy. It's always helpful when you learn what your motivational gift is, Romans 12. But the reason I go over these, yeah, you can say, you might major in one of these and you say, I have the gift of teaching, or I have the gift of, you know, giving. And you can say that. But when you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this list is not for you to say, I have the gift of, and then the 1 Corinthians 12 list. Brett, you forgot the second one, the administrations. What are those? Well, that's that Ephesians scripture, chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That's the second group. So you got the Romans 12, the Ephesians 4, and then now Paul's gonna say, but what I'm really here to talk about is the 1 Corinthians 12 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Not gifts. I'm gonna not call it gifts. If you call it gifts of the Spirit, you're not completely wrong, but I'll show you why that's something you have to be careful with. So 1 Corinthians 12, we have the manifestations listed for us of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look. It says, but verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So these are good. These are profitable. Number one, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. There it is, number one. Word of wisdom. The Spirit manifests itself to the church. And maybe have you ever been in a place where you just need wisdom? You need to speak wisdom into someone's life and you just don't have anything? You're like, man, I'm empty. I don't have any wisdom. This is where you say, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? And I pray that I might have a word of wisdom. Sometimes the Lord does that without you even asking. And have you ever been talking to somebody? You're like, man, I don't know what to say to this person. And then suddenly your heart's stirred and you just kind of speak a word of wisdom and you can kind of tell that it struck their heart in a way that's important. That's the first manifestation of the Spirit. Number two, it goes on, to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Well, what's the difference? Wisdom is wisdom, but knowledge is knowledge. Knowledge is to know stuff. And there's times where you need to know stuff that you don't know. And the Spirit will do that. Let me give you an example. This has happened in my own personal life many times, but like one example, years and years ago, I was talking to a young couple. They came in, they want to talk about their bad behaving children. They were having trouble with their junior high age kids. So we got in the office and like right when we sat down, the weirdest thing happened to me. I just kind of felt this stirring in my heart. Before we even said one thing, the Lord just kind of, through the Spirit, the Lord said, the problem is not their children, the problem's in their marriage. But they started going into their kids and talking about all their things, their kids, and they're doing this and that and the other. And I finally just said to them, I really don't think the problem is your kids, the problem is your marriage. And she burst into tears and he turned bright red and they looked at each other stunned. And they're like, who told you? And I said, the Holy Ghost. No, I didn't say that. But it really was the Holy Spirit, I think, that revealed that. And then we shifted from talking about their kids to talking about their marriage. Because by the way, mom and dad, if you have a great marriage, the kids do a lot better. But anyway, that's where like a word of knowledge comes in real handy by the power of the Spirit. So to one, a word of wisdom. To another, a word of knowledge. Number three, faith. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Well, Brett, I thought faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Is there a tie between the word of God and the Holy Spirit? Yes, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Like, it's all congruent, the whole thing. But if you're lacking in faith, say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit and increase my faith. To another, verse 9, the gifts of healing. Now, a person who's a Christian can have, and here's the operative thing. Notice the S on the word gifts. It is in plural. And anyone who's filled with the Spirit can be given a gift of healing for someone who's sick. It's not your gift. It's God's gift to that person through you by his Holy Spirit. So I love that the Lord still heals. I don't believe that that ceased, as some would say. We've seen people healed miraculously. And when we pray for them, I don't suddenly say, I'm going to start the Brett Metter Healing Ministries, you know. But what I am going to do is thank the Lord that he gave us a gift of healing to that person who God healed. Don't neglect that, but don't start making a website when you pray for somebody and they're healed. Number 5, the working of miracles. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. And yes, miracles still happen. Do you guys believe that? It sure does. If you're a Christian, I'm sure you've seen miracles. Number 6, to another, prophecy. Now this is where we double up and we realize, oh, this is one of the motivational gifts, but it also can be a gift that the Spirit gives you at any time, a word of edification, exhortation, or comfort that's beyond yourself. Then to another, the discerning of spirits. Do we need that today? You know, knowing if it's from heaven or hell, north or south, is this evil or is this good? Man, we need that desperately today. And that, if you're a Christian and you're trying to decide, is this good or bad? This comes by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the discerning of spirits, powerful and important. And then the last one, I'm gonna put kind of 2-for-1, tongues and interpretation. It says, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. And when we study tongues further later on, I'm gonna talk about what kind of diverse tongues there are. There's the tongues that are talked about in Acts 2, where they were speaking the language of other people. There's tongues talked about where people speak tongues in the church with an interpretation, and they're directed toward God. And there's also a personal private use of tongues that seems to not necessarily require interpretation in your own personal use of tongues. This is the manifestation, this is the list right here of how the Spirit manifests in the church. I love these. These are all very supernaturally natural things God does in his people. And you don't have to go quivering and you don't have to shake with a weird voice and do weird stuff and gyrate. You just have to be a person of faith and ask for the Holy Spirit to do these things through you. Now, the Corinthian church then took this stuff and started abusing them, not doing them rightly. So Paul has to come back in 1 Corinthians 14 and do a little spanking. Let's take a look at that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. I'm just gonna give you the highlights of this. Follow after charity and desire spiritual pneumaticas. That's right. It's the things of the Spirit, same thing. So he's saying follow love and desire things of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing. But rather that you may prophesy, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but to God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, here it is, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Somebody speaking in tongues, they're speaking toward God. Then verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesy edifies the church. I would that you all speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks in tongues. So the Corinthian church was just all about tongues. Talk. And Paul's saying, knock it off. Paul says in verse 18, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding than by my voice that I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. See, Paul is prioritizing, saying, man, tongues is less than a word of prophecy speaking. Paul says, I'd rather have 5 words of understanding than 10,000 spoken in an unknown tongue. Look at verse 27. Paul's putting bright lines out there for the church behavior. Verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2 or at the most by 3. And that by chorus, let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. In other words, if you speak in tongues and nobody interprets, sit down, boy. You gotta just stop talking. Put your mouth away for now. You know, it's like, you gotta knock it out. People go to churches. Have you ever been to a church where people just start roaring in tongues in the congregation? That's just not biblical. I'm sorry, it's just not. I remember when I was 6 years old, I was sitting in a church. We'd travel around because my dad built dams and bridges. We'd move from town to town. But I remember sitting in a Pentecostal church on a Sunday morning. And I remember I was like 6 years old. And we're just sitting there. The preacher starts getting up to the pulpit and starts preaching like maybe 5 or 10 words. And suddenly the dude sitting next to me, he jumps up and with a booming loud voice, blah, 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 starts speaking in tongues. And I could almost see the pastor go like this. Like I could tell he was a little frustrated. And pretty soon the whole congregation starts roaring in tongues. And my dad, he wasn't trying to be rude. He didn't huff out of the sanctuary, but he just told me and my sisters and my mom, gang, let's go. But when we got in the Volkswagen and started driving home, my dad said, see, 1 Corinthians 14 says, if there's tongues spoken in the church, let it be by two or at the most three. But if nobody's interpreting, then let that person be silent. My dad said, what we saw there was just not really biblical. And that's why we were, and you know, as a six-year-old kid, I remember all of that like it was yesterday. It's kind of funny how in the impressions you learn, but this is biblical thinking. And then look at verse 39, wherefore brethren, covet not to prophesy, but forbid not to speak with tongues. In other words, don't stop speaking in tongues, but verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Let's be biblical people and don't forget the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be the dead church. We want to be a Spirit-filled, Christ-centered church, and we got to be biblical about it. Amen? Amen.
Pastor Brett Metter concluding a list of biblical manifestations of the gift of the Spirit with a passage from 1 Corinthians in a continuing study series on today's Word. And I hope you'll stick around as Pastor Brett will be back to join me in the studio in just a moment. But first, let me tell you more about Brett Metter. He's the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just south of Portland in West Lynn, Oregon. Brett's been the pastor of Athey Creek for almost 30 years, where the church has grown from a small group of believers to one of the largest churches in the Pacific Northwest. If you've missed any portion of our time today, you'll find all of his messages online at todaywordradio.com. You can also watch or listen to Pastor Brett's past messages, including his monthly prophecy updates, at todaywordradio.com. All right, Pastor Brett is with me now. As we've mentioned, his Today's Word radio program is being heard nationwide now, and we continue to add radio stations. Brett, why did you decide to expand the reach of your ministry via radio outside the Pacific Northwest?
Well, Kurt, I don't want to sound overly spiritual because I'm not that guy that wants to say these things that often, but probably one of the greatest stirrings in my heart and life was a few years back, I took a group of Athey Creek church folks over to Paul's missionary journeys. We did a big journey, a GNC, and went to Ephesus and Corinth and Philippi. It was just an outstanding trip. But one of the things that every place we went, the Lord just revealed how much Paul, the apostle, was passionate to go to all the cities that he possibly could. I mean, the guy was tireless, and he went to Ephesus, the biggest city of that region of that time. When you go see the ruins at Ephesus, it's just profound. It's one of the greatest archaeological ruins you ever go see in the world. But when I finally got to Corinth, and I'll tell you, Kurt, I've probably teared up maybe twice in my life in front of people. I'm just not that guy. People tell me I'm as sensitive as a brick. But I was preaching in Corinth, and the Lord just stirred my heart and said, Brett, it's time to reach like Paul the apostle reached people. And man, I just stood there teaching at Corinth and I started tearing up and people probably thought, what in the world's going on? But it was this massive stirring to say, you know, I got to admit, Athey Creek, we didn't really have any publicity. We didn't put ourselves on the internet. We were unannounced, but we grew just by word of mouth. But a few years ago, the Lord said, it's time to stop that and really reach as many people in the world as possible. And we've done just a little bit of effort to try to get as many people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and the verse-by-verse teaching through the Word. Those are the two main components of what the Lord stirred in my heart to reach as many people with that. And so we love all the formats online, but I really do love the radio format too, because I think there's a lot of people that are kind of coming back to radio that want to get away from just sort of the digital podcast thing. And so that's one of the reasons we've expanded our radio program, and we're really glad to be on the air with people around the country.
Yeah, we really are. Thank you, Brett, for sharing that. And if you'd like more information about Athey Creek Church, Pastor Brett Metter, or Today's Word, you can visit our website at todayswordradio.com. That's todayswordradio.com. Well, that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett Metter takes a close look at the historical significance and what it means to abide in Jesus. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.